Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny ahead of the Wizards and the Capitals. Start you off on the gridiron. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, covers the Redskins. Michael, you may have gotten a tick worse at the quarterback position, but it feels like the Redskins did the best they probably could with a botched scenario here. They now know who their quarterback is, and it's a guy who's going to give them a chance to win. What'd you make of the Smith deal?
Yeah. I think one thing, the Kendall Fuller aspect still stings. It's a young guy, rookie deal to replace him. You have to spend a lot of money if you even can replace him. If you consider Bashaud Breeland a replacement, you know, he's coming in at a much higher price than Kendall Fuller. So that element still stings. The one thing I'm still waiting on is you find out just how that guaranteed money is structured in the contract. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, this is going to be a three-year guarantee, essentially, that Alex Smith will have to be the Redskins quarterback for the next 3 years. I think that's something people can stomach. You draft either next year or in 2 years if you need to bring a replacement into the building. That is probably about all you could ask for. I think that's a reasonable amount of time that you can cut bait if you need to cut bait. If he's rolling, you roll with him for five.
Miguel, we're going to ask the people this in a moment. I want you to weigh in. Should the Redskins still consider drafting a quarterback at 13 if there is one that they like that is available?
I think the answer is no. I think you wait one more year on that. You could bring a guy in a two-year developmental window, and then certainly a one-year window makes a lot of sense. The problem is if you draft a guy now, you got Smith for 3 years. Your four-year rookie contract is why you draft guys. You bring him in on that rookie salary for 4 years. If you bring a guy in now and he sits for three, there's no upside to it. You got to pay him full price by the time he's contributing. So you really want to maximize those rookie windows in the contracts. That's what the good teams are doing.
But do we know that it's 3 years committed and guaranteed to Smith? I don't think those terms are out yet. It could be 2 years committed and guaranteed to him.
Correct. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. It could be four, it could be two, it could be three. Consensus right now is three from what I'm hearing. If it turns out to be two, I'm going to change my tune. I'm going to tell you, yeah, absolutely, you could draft a quarterback this year. I'd probably prefer a later round guy in that scenario rather than a first round guy. But, you know, that's what you pay a scouting department for. Go find a winner.
Miguel, this is the era that we're in. Cryptic social media posts from Zach Brown. We're trying to translate these things and deduce what sort of progress, if any, has been made. What are you hearing? What do you know?
Yeah, well, they got to come bigger. You got to get it done. And certainly Zach Brown felt disrespected by the market last year. So that's the backstory here, and that needs to be considered. He did not get the deal he wanted on the open market last year. I think he proved he was worth that the market underestimated him. So I can understand his frustration if the market is still not materializing here in year two after a good year. Whatever the offer is, whatever it comes in on from the outside, I think the Redskins need to pony up and match that. You talk about guys who could be a good candidate for the transition tag now that that's back on the board. I think Zach Brown's in that category. I think he's that important that you can't let him go.
Michael, thank you, buddy. Much appreciated.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk some puck. Steve Wino covers the Caps and DC Sports for the Associated Press in town. Happy Penguins Day, everybody. Die. Top rival hosting the Capitals, 7 o'clock drop of the puck in Pittsburgh tonight. Steve, Pittsburgh has been rolling. Looked like they were destined to be a poor team, maybe miss the playoffs. Now they're second in the Metro. How'd they turn their season around?
They have Sidney Crosby. They have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Phil Kessel. And when you have that high-end talent, and maybe earlier on in the season they weren't clicking along at playoff caliber level, but they certainly have been lately. They went on a winning streak at the start of January. When you have those guys playing as well as they have and got an even decent goaltending out of the likes of Tristan Jarry and now Matt Murray back from the death of his father, this is a team to be reckoned with.
Steven, this may be some hyperbole. This may be one of those sports radio dumb angles that I'm about to take here, but These next four games, Pittsburgh, Vegas, twice against Columbus, might this ultimately, we look back at the end of the season based on where the Caps finish and say, this is maybe one of those tipping points where it could go good or it could go bad. They relinquish that division lead or they put a stranglehold on it. Am I nuts to overestimate this stretch here of four games?
No, I think it's true. And I think it actually started with the Flyers game when they go down 2-0 early in that game and come back and not just win it, but win it in regulation to put some space between themselves and the Flyers. That specifically the division games against the Flyers, the Penguins, and the Blue Jackets makes a huge difference because if you're able to win those games in regulation, it's going to be way harder for those teams to be able to catch up later in the season. And even Lars Eller pointed out, they have a little bit of a gap now. But I think the Vegas game, more than the importance to the division, teams are starting to use Vegas as a measuring stick around the league as this is one of the best teams in the league and could be leading the league by the end of the night. And the Capitals get a chance to see Vegas for the second time and try to avenge that loss that they had in December.
Big deal to get Chandler Stephenson going. He scored twice in the last game. They're trying to get more secondary scoring, and they don't really know night to night who's going to sit because they got more healthy forwards than they have spots. Now, what other storylines are you monitoring back of the roster here?
At this point, it's seeing what kind of production they're going to get from Andrei Burakovsky from this point forward. And he's been on the edge of being a healthy scratch several times. He's been a healthy scratch. Jacob Vrana might wind up sitting out again just because Devontae Smith-Pelly scored the other night. But Barry Trotz is able to use that 13th forward spot now as kind of who's not playing well at the time to be able to scratch them and give them a little bit of time to watch. But Andrei Burakovsky, if he gets scoring after breaking the drought the other night, it's going to be interesting to see how long he stays in the lineup.
So on to my last one. To me, the biggest guy that needs to get going, I think Oshie will. That's a matter of time. He's too dependable. Mm-hmm. But Burakovsky scoring the other night was big to me. That's someone that when you move on from a mojo, you lose a couple guys in this expansion draft, et cetera, some of these young players that have bigger roles need to accept those bigger roles. And he's been kind of a ghost at times for Barry Trotz and company this year. Do you see him picking it up here down the stretch?
He better. The expectations are there for him to do exactly that, and he's performed poorly this season. He's only scoring four goals. Chandler Stephenson now has four goals. It hasn't been a good season, injury notwithstanding, for Andrei Burakovsky. And given that the Capitals can't expect to be carried by the Nicholas Backstroms, the Alex Ovechkins, the Denny Kuznetsovs along the entire way of the season, that Jacob Vrana scored a lot earlier in the year. The Capitals are going to need to get more production out of Burakovsky.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
Let's talk a little hoops. Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington can help us do that. Chase, the Wizards are 3-0 since Wall left with injury, and they look better than they did, led by, albeit a down version of Wall. Better defensively, better ball movement. Shocked. What's your take on this?
Yeah, it is pretty surprising because not only have they looked better, they've beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Toronto Raptors, two of the best teams in the NBA. And then I think that win that they had against the Atlanta Hawks, as bad as the Hawks are, was really impressive because it was one of their most thorough wins against a bad team all season. So the ball movement is unquestionably better than it had been in the week or two prior. And I think there's a few reasons for that. One, John Wall was obviously hobbled with his left knee injury, having healthy point guards out there, pass-first point guards who don't need to look for their own shot. That helps. And then also, not having Wall out there as a cushion, as Scott Brooks describes it, has helped everyone kind of change their mindset about the offense and their role in it. They have to pass in order to score. And what you've seen these last few games is them rack up a very impressive amount of assists. Basically, that's the way they're going to be able to play to score enough points to win, because losing John Wall is obviously going to lead to a drop-off some nights offensively.
Yeah, close to 100 assists over three games, an incredible stretch. To me, I don't want to overstate this, Chaser, but right now, especially I think it's true, because you know, even if John Wall is healthy, their ceiling to me is about Markieff Morris. And I don't want to pin this all on one guy, but when he's involved and active and not fouling, he's been 20, 23, 18, 15, grabbing some boards, doing a few little things. When he's involved in the game, they're good. And that's where their ceiling goes, even with or without John Wall. When he's into it, this is what can happen. This stretch has been pretty good for Markieff Morris.
There's no question. Over the last three or four games, he's looked like the very good, very valuable stretch four that we saw him at his best times last year. And it's kind of little things. He just looks more engaged. He's got a little bit more bounce in his step. He's just a little bit quicker off his first step, firing crisp passes to Otto Porter in the corner, looking very confident, knocking down threes, but also being very aggressive attacking the rim. You know, Scott Brooks, when he criticizes Markieff Morris, he says that sometimes he'll get a little passive and hang out around the three-point line. We've seen him be a little bit more versatile in how he tries to attack opposing defenses because that's where he's valuable. Yes, he can shoot threes. He can shoot threes very well for a power forward. But the way that his game will open up is if he attacks the rim and works in the mid-range game because he can be a very versatile scorer.
Chase, you're a versatile scorer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chase.
Thanks, guys.
Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, is where you can find his work on the Wizards. We're Grant and Danny. You are locked into the Fan. Can we rule out a draft pick of a quarterback in the top two rounds for the Redskins this spring with Alex Smith in the fold? That's next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. So I've been hearing both on this radio station, local television, and based on just social media interactions from everybody that you can now rule out the Redskins drafting a quarterback in the early rounds. I actually also subscribe to that theory. I think it'd be stunning if they drafted a quarterback. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to draft a quarterback. But until we know how long they're committed to Alex Smith, which stunningly, the deal that he agreed to has not been broken down yet and disseminated to the media. Normally that comes out a couple hours later.
Right.
Here's what needs to be found out. Are they able to get out of that contract without having to take on dead money after 2 years or after 3 years?
How long are they on the hook is the basic gist here.
That's always going to be the case with quarterback contracts. The big number on money over $90 million is actually basically irrelevant. That's just monopoly cash that means nothing. The number that everyone always cares about is guaranteed money. But in and of itself, even the guaranteed number does not tell a story yet. It's helpful, but that is guaranteed for injury. Mm. Which only means that if a guy got hurt and couldn't play or you got rid of him because of injury, you'd owe him that money. I'll bet you the entire third season of his contract is guaranteed for injury. That's how a lot of these quarterback deals, especially with veterans aging into their 30s, work. There is a potential that in terms of full guarantees, what I like to call the guaranteed guarantees,
right,
that it's 2 years in the 40s, close to 50, who knows, $1 million, and then you're out of that deal. If that is the case, then we should not be pretending like the Redskins absolutely cannot draft a quarterback. Because while it would be odd to have a guy sit around for two seasons under Alex Smith, I agree, and it would be wasteful for a team that has so many needs when you don't have a third-round pick to now only have a second-rounder before the fourth round to improve your roster with this year because your quarterback wouldn't play and you don't have the third-rounder with the Kendall Fuller deal to get Alex Smith. If you love Baker Mayfield or you love Josh Allen is the better example because it seems like he's the super high upside, might take a little while and needs a year or two to develop kind of guy, you could draft them now. There's nothing to say that next year when you would all of a sudden have to draft a quarterback, you're going to like the options at your pick better than right now this year. There's nothing to say that. And if you have to draft a quarterback next year, basically, you're just watering down the options that you have. You're basically saying, we got to find the best of these four guys rather than the best quarterback that we like the most if we do it whenever we fall in love.
Because the presumption is, of course, that next year there will be a similar number of teams that need quarterbacks. It's the annual rite of passage here. It's the annual, you know, right now on paper, you wouldn't think that fill-in-the-blank team needs one. Well, look what happened. Arizona went from not needing one to needing one. Jacksonville went from, we think we're solved, to another terrible year from Blake Bortles. Maybe they're in the marketplace where another draft pick doesn't work out in Cleveland or whatever the hell else. So there's going to be need for a team to acquire a QB, and their decision, of course, internally will be, is it veteran, is it rookie, is it whatever? So from the Redskins' perspective, I think Michael Phillips said it best. I, in general, am completely out on the Redskins drafting a quarterback before they made this move. I would have rather gone the stable free agent route, the caretaker, the jag, the whatever. You add into the fact that they just signed somebody at big money for a minimum of a couple seasons, but presumably three, because, again, he's got an affordable deal for 1 year, and then there are a minimum of two more years, I think, where you could say, okay, this is 23.5, and that's kind of what it costs, and so be it the marketplace. You're now squandering what the competitive advantage would be of having that rookie player. When I talk about controllable young talent, meaning it's the most premium thing in a salary cap sport. It's the most important thing to acquire lots of, because you get veteran value, if you do it right, on a fraction of the cost. When free agency is involved, there is no cost-controlling measure. When rookies, guys on their rookie deals are involved, there is. You need as many of those guys performing at as high a level as possible. So when you invest in a rookie, invest in a quarterback that's not going to play for a minimum, if you draft him this year, of two seasons, maximum really of three, that's a squandering of a pick. That's a waste. That is a complete waste. Now, if you do a fourth-round guy that you could spin into something one day because he shows well in preseason games and comes in relief once or twice, that's an investment. That's worth making. But a first-round draft pick on a quarterback, to me, would be absolutely irresponsible by them.
I think it's hard to get fourth-round stink off of a guy who doesn't play a lot, though.
Sure.
We saw this with Jimmy Garoppolo, as good as it looks like he is, and everyone around the league said he was. He only got New England a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that is it's a mid-rounder who hasn't proven it on the field. Unless you're Kirk Cousins and you go from the fourth round to playing down in and down out for three straight seasons and putting up numbers, it's more difficult, I think, than we assume to turn that into the investment that is necessary. But I don't even think the Redskins will be drafting a guy to trade the guy. I guess that's certainly a possibility, because if Alex Smith is really good, let's say he plays the next 3 years like he played this year, and it's not a Tyreek Hill help that made him throw the deep ball better, but actually a wonderful adjustment that he made, and he became a better player at 33.
Yeah, a career awakening.
Right, which doesn't really happen, but let's say it happened with him somehow. Okay, cool. Now you got Josh Allen for a couple years that you stash. You can flip him maybe for a third-round pick or something like that. I don't think they have the luxury of doing it. I guess all I'm trying to say is, A, let's wait and see how long they have to commit to Alex Smith. If it's 3 years, then they're not drafting a quarterback right now. If it's only 2 years, this is not a 100% open-shut case, I don't think. Because teams just don't view quarterback like that. And also the fact that the New England Patriots with Tom Brady had Jimmy Garoppolo waiting and ended up having little sweepstakes for him, and the way that he's played, I think could change the way teams view it, where if there's a guy that you just deem really, really good, it's the quarterback position. Draft the player and you'll end up either getting production out of them or something back for them. That's why Mike Shanahan drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought he was insane. But he just took his franchise quarterback, so he thought, at number two, who was going to be the unquestioned starter for a few years. Nothing you could do about that. You couldn't bench him if you wanted to for a few seasons, even if he played terribly, because he just drafted him after all they traded. But in the meantime, he said, you know what? This Cousins guy is really good. This is what NFL quarterbacks look like in college. I'm taking him, because we'll flip him for something. It's the Patriots' way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's insane to say that the Redskins are still going to be doing some heavy scouting of passers to figure out if there's a can't-miss prospect. But they need too much, in my opinion, to invest it on a quarterback. So I would club the move if they went that way.
Kansas City had that luxury. That's a good team. That's two straight 11-win seasons, two straight seasons of quality defense. They recruit some playmakers. They knew who they were.
But I'd make the case there's someone on Kansas City radio who's saying the right thing by saying they're knocking on the door of being Super Bowl caliber. Drafting a first-round impact defensive player last year maybe helps them beat the Titans. Drafting a first-round impact skill position player on the outside or a big-time receiver for Alex Smith to go with Tyreek Hill, I mean, maybe that puts you over the top.
Well,
they chose to go a different route.
Grant, my point isn't whether that's right or wrong. It's a defensible move is what I mean. It's a long-term planning move for an organization, I think, that can afford those kinds of things.
True.
Kansas City, you may disagree, and that's fine. I actually think that's why I would never do it, by the way. I would never do the Mahomes thing. I would have done what you said, grab me the best defensive player on the board. It's pretty much how Philadelphia got here, by the way. They kept doing that. Kansas City made a decision where you go, you know what, we're pretty good at this point. We can afford to spend an early pick on our future because right now we're coming off 22 wins over the last couple years. The Redskins need 3 years to get 22 wins. That's the difference between them and where they are. They are still in we are desperate for talent acquisition mode. Kansas City probably felt more secure, so now we'll do this. And out of that Pat Mahomes pick, what they basically got was salary cap room for moving Alex Smith, an extra third rounder, and Kendall Fuller. That's what they spun last year's pick into. Now, would they have been better off if they had just taken at 13, say, Jonathan Allen, for the sake of argument, or the best member of the secondary that was available? I'd have to go back and look. And that's an interesting debate that Kansas City Raiders probably should be having. But they profited from that because they were in a good position. The Redskins are in a much worse position on all fronts.
Yeah.
When you are at a disadvantageous spot, you don't have the luxury that teams that are in good spots do. Pittsburgh can spin a guy. It doesn't matter if he's productive for you. That's cute. We got a next guy waiting in the wings. We have that luxury. We're perennial 12-13-win team. Patriots can do it, right? The Minnesota Vikings right now can do it. The Redskins can't. They just don't have enough. To me, anything other than the best defensive player on the board is an irresponsible mistake at 13 just because of, again, what they've given up and where they are.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's do this. We'll take your calls at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. And the question we want you to answer is about the first two rounds. Because obviously you could draft a Mike White or one of these mid to late round quarterbacks, and it's not going to be the end of the world. Do you think the Redskins can draft a QB in the first or second round in this draft after trading for Alex Smith and not look silly for doing it? That's the question on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What would you make of the Redskins spending one of their top two-round picks on a quarterback this year? Remember, they don't have a third-round pick now. So you basically have one non-quarterback drafted in the first three rounds. One guy would be on the field and can help you this year, drafted before the fourth round, which is why I am firmly going to say they cannot and should not draft a quarterback. A Kirk Cousins today has broken his silence. He is doing his first interviews on Radio Row since the trades came out. Mike Jones of USA Today Sports is sitting down with him, I think, right now. Cousins said it was a surprise to hear that the Redskins had made the trade. He said, I was actually working out at my hotel room here in Minneapolis, and when I finished the workout, I went over and saw the news. Every player looks forward to free agency. It looks like I'm going to be a free agent on March 14th. I guess there are still some dates to check off, but it should be an exciting process. I was keeping an open mind. I think Washington can win. I think they're in a good place. I think they're in a position to be successful. So we'll get you some of the other quotes and some of the audio that came out of Kirk Cousins, but this is the first time that he is speaking about the deal. So as more of that comes out today, as he's on Radio Row, you'll hear it here on The Fan.
Yeah, that is, it's an awkward spot to be in because, you know, despite the feelings of guys like Eric Bickle, who decided after Cousins hadn't changed his tune in any way that he's now out or Cousins is dead to him or whatever else. But
I couldn't believe that from EB.
I could. That's how you emotionally protect yourself. You go through 20-some years of this nonsense that you try to find a way to cope. We're all coping. So I don't judge anybody for it.
Actually,
just find it curious.
Call EB. I'd love to talk to EB about that.
So, but Cousins was in an awkward spot because nobody saw this coming, right? So think about this. The only two quarterbacks on Radio Row when this trade goes down are Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins. That day, he's going on Florio, he's going on The Jungle with Jim Rome, and he's going up and down and talking about the same things, saying the stuff that he says, which is, like, absolutely, the door's open, we can win in Washington, I'm excited to be part of it if that's what happens, but we'll wait and see. Balls on their court is normal set of answers, right? Because that's actually how he feels. Next thing you know, it all looks moot and awkward because the Redskins, around 9 o'clock at night, pull off something that nobody saw. I mean, no one saw coming. No one heard they were interested. No one heard that they were even in this contest in any kind of way. Next thing you know, he's been replaced, and they haven't had any conversations with him. He's been sitting there ISO'd out. He's been boxed out by the Redskins, who won't even call him or talk to his agent since November. How do you not even have a conversation? So Cousins is in an awkward spot, certainly. And, you know, so again, I don't necessarily – He handled it better than I would, is how I'd say it.
Yeah, I still can't believe the Redskins didn't call the agent or Cousins himself when they were finishing up this Alex Smith deal. Just to say, here's what we're thinking about doing. What are your thoughts? Do you have any interest in talking with us? Should we stop trying to make this trade? Or how about we're talking about paying Alex Smith this. You're younger than him and better than him. Would you like that?
Do you want that? And if he says no.
Which he would have.
Godspeed.
By the way, absolutely he would have. But at least then we could come out and say, well, they talked to Kirk Cousins. They let him know they were moving on from him. They didn't even let him know. Does anybody care about that? That after years of this back and forth and the nonsense exchanges of one offer, non-offer to another, it was just over and he never got a phone call from the team? Still hasn't heard from the team to this minute?
When he's clearing out his locker, you don't think you could say, hey, you want to stop by Bruce's office real fast or go talk to Alex Santos or, you know, I don't know, Kyle Smith, anybody? No one from the organization has talked to him since November. I mean, he's still playing games. So he's talking to Jay, getting ready for games through December. But it's just interesting to me, man. It says it's more than simply just the, you know, Washington Redskins are going about business as usual. It says there's a personal element to it, which I think is just shameful.
I believe our guy, Eric Bickle from the Junks, is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. You know, we love EB, and I was listening to the Junks like Danny was today, and we were both taken aback with how EB now feels scorned by Kirk Cousins, so we wanted to get him on. Eric, what happened? You've changed your tune on Cousins overnight.
Not really. I think it. Look, I get it. I would want to sign with Bruce either. I guess I just feel a little jilted because I supported the guy so much, and I really thought that they could work this out. And you know, in hindsight, I feel stupid for thinking all along that they could get something done. I don't know. I just feel like he's doing cartwheels and he's butt sized that he's out of here finally. And I get that. But at the end of the day, as good a guy as Kirk is, and I do think he's a really good guy, no question about it. I'm a bigger Redskins fan than I am of any one particular guy.
Sure. And you should be. Like, people are calling us the last couple days. Yeah, they're saying, I'm going to be a fan of whatever team he goes to. I think that's insane. I thought it was insane when Griffin fans did that. That's ridiculous. What would you have preferred he do differently? Again, when you were saying he's been disingenuous, what do you think he did wrong or badly?
I feel like all of the public stuff down the stretch that give us kind of false hope. I felt like he gave us false hope that there was a window of opportunity, that, oh, the relationship with Bruce and Dan's been fantastic. And the last offer they gave us was a real offer. That was awesome. You know, just some of that stuff, it made you think, well, maybe there is some ground here.
I definitely agree with that, because his relationship with Bruce is not good. Yeah. I mean, that I just don't think he was honest about, but I don't know what he could have said other than I don't really respect Bruce that much. He wasn't going to say that.
The only thing he could say maybe is, in every organization, I don't know. I would have to think about that. Maybe, look, you're not going to love everybody in the building, but I know that we all want to win, and that's what matters. Maybe you just say some BS like that. Know what I mean?
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. But let me ask you this. Let's say Grant and I continue doing okay, following you guys in, after your show ends, we were on for a little while. And let's say we get replaced by a team that's like pretty good in like Pittsburgh middays. What will you say about us when we leave, even though we kind of wanted to come back and it was out of our control?
So you're saying this is out of it. I don't see the difference is, Danny, I think that there was control here. I think maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like if Kirk really wanted to stay here, he could have bent over a little bit, and they could have found a common ground. It just became obvious that to both sides that they weren't going to find that, or that Kirk wasn't willing. Like, he wasn't going to give him a hometown discount no matter what he said. That appeared obvious. The Redskins weren't going to bend over to make him happy, I don't think.
I think he said that. I mean, here's what I would ask you, though, EB, because this is kind of my take. Not just from the 2 hours we spent with Cousins, but from everybody on his side I've talked to, everyone on the Redskins side, what I gather is that Cousins clearly wants to test and wanted to test free agency. But I genuinely believe he thought there was a real good chance he could be a Redskin again next season on a one-year transition or franchise tag. Not that he was going to sign a long-term deal, but if they transitioned him, rather than signing a long-term deal and then allowing them to match it, I don't think that would have happened. I think he would have just been happy to come back here at a year with the Redskins again and then be a free agent next year, which is why he said some of the things that are annoying you now about we can absolutely win. And he's talking about going and getting speed at wide receiver, because I don't think he had closed the book in his mind. They haven't talked to him, by the way, since November 29th. So this deal came out of nowhere for him, too.
That goes to both sides. I mean, we've all been in negotiations, and, you know, my people reach out to Entercom.
I agree.
My people reach out. You know what I mean? I don't just wait for them to call me.
Correct. But he wanted to be a free agent. He wanted to test the market, which doesn't mean he's not coming back to Washington, but he wants to see what his availability is. It's up to the Redskins to get the deal done. They're the ones losing him. His benefit is to be a free agent.
Right. Look. I get it in a lot of ways. I'm kind of stuck in the corner that I think he was a little bit disingenuous about the opportunity to retire a Redskin and to have a long career here and not want him to jump around, in a perfect world. I just think, for whatever reason, listen, we knew for a few years ago he wanted to roll out of here. I mean, it's not a new concept.
Right.
But I just thought that they could bridge that gap, that money could cure a lot of those things. And it just didn't seem like either side was interested in really making that happen at all once it got to a certain point. And I guess I was dumb enough to keep thinking that there was hope there. And once it became obvious there wasn't, now I feel like a jilted lover. So now I'm like, just go. You do you, and I'm going to do me, and I'm going to now embrace my new guy, Alex Smith, and hope for the best.
Your boy, Alex Smith.
Your pal.
Hey, here's the
I think is inferior, but I'm going to hope he has, like, four career years.
You
and, like,
me
wins
both.
An MVP.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for the dude to go crazy. I see people saying they now know it's about money. I want to get your thoughts on this. To me, here's my evidence that it's not about money. I think the Redskins could have offered him $32 million a year, and he still wouldn't have signed it. That, to me, is how I know it's not about money.
And that's where I think you're right, Eric, is that part of it. It was about here more than anything else.
Yes, it was about here long term, though. I don't think his issue was these couple of seasons or another season or two. It's the idea that the prime of my career – until I'm basically Alex Smith's age and going on to the backside of my last 3 years, will be spent in an organization where I don't trust Bruce Allen to, A, be a good dude that I can trust, or, B, win football games.
Right. I understand that. But I still – and I think we could see that clearly now. But I think in the fog of it, when he said things like, oh, yeah, you know, in a perfect world, I'd love to retire here. I'd love to, you know, stay one, you know, be a quarterback that's here my whole career, and I love the fans here and all that. I bought into some of that to give me hope that that was a realistic possibility, but that was just lip service, and that's fine. That's his job. I don't begrudge him. I wouldn't want to work for Bruce Allen either. But although, and listen, I think Bruce is maybe one of the most disingenuous, biggest phonies, incompetent people that I've ever encountered. But he might be able to buy me off. That is possible.
he offers enough money.
If he offered me enough money, yeah, I would go lay with the devil for a little bit. That's where we may differ. And I'm a little more shallow, I guess.
But I guess my last thing for you, and you've already spent too much time talking about this. So sorry to bug you with
you're not bugging me. I know I don't make a lot of sense. So it's just I'm giving you my feeling.
Which I like.
You know what I mean?
I like your feeling. That's why we love
I'm
the Jones.
I'm not saying it's all 100% logical. I'm just telling you as a Redskins fan.
No, I got
that's
you.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat. We're all caught up in our emotions here. So my last one for you, Eric, is this. Does it irk you at all? Because this is what bothers me. The Redskins had such a couple clear, easy opportunities to, if you offered any kind of deal to Kirk Cousins and make him say no, then I could get feeling like you feel, going, that guy didn't want to be here. Screw that guy. But they never came close to any kind of reasonable market value. If they offered him the same deal they just signed Alex Smith to, now Cousins is the bad guy when he says, take your money and shove it, Bruce. They never did that. That's the part to me that I cannot and will not get past.
That's just because it got personal, and they got personal, and they didn't love him, and they weren't sold, But by the same token, you know how this was really lost a couple of years ago. I also don't blame them after 1 year of not wanting to commit, $100 million, $50+ million guaranteed. I get that.
Sure,
it's a real strange circumstance, cluster F that just kind of blew up in everyone's faces.
Do you
except
think
for Kirk? He gets the last laugh, and, God bless him.
Maybe. I mean, it depends, honestly, on where he goes. Look, everyone pretends like Denver's a quarterback away. That team in December didn't look like they were a quarterback away from winning, in my opinion. Do you think, though, they screwed this up, or do you think that they got dealt some bad luck and then Cousins didn't play ball?
No, I think they screwed this up. They could have found a common ground a year and a half ago or so. Maybe not the first year, but they could have found it a year and a half ago. By the time he held the presser and he trashed him, it was over then. He nuked it then.
I 100% agree. And we haven't talked enough about that. That's a great point by
Eric. Yeah, that to me, it was the nail in the coffin.
That was the day that the whole thing ended, probably, is when Bruce came out and did that.
For both sides, I think.
From that moment on, it's been, yeah, let's just test free agency.
He nuked it. And Kirk, to his credit, didn't trash him. I just wish he kind of gave us a little window into his soul a little more. We said, listen, guys, don't get your hopes up. I'm probably rolling out of here. We had to read between the lines on that. And a lot of people did. But some of us that are just kind of blind homers and really liked them, we were kind of hoping against hope that they could work it out. But it was never going to happen. And so I guess I feel stupid thinking that.
I love Eric Bickle. I love the jokes. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Okay. Have fun, boys.
Have a good weekend, brother.
Appreciate you. There's EB. That was a good little chat with him. It was funny, though. I mean, earlier today, just listening, and he's been a Kirk guy all along.
What was the term he used on Kirk? Disingenuous something? Yeah, he used the word douche.
Yeah, I was like, what? Okay, I guess.
Wow.
But when he explains it that way, his feelings are hurt, basically.
I know.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get your reaction to that next. Kirk Cousins with Mike Jones on Radio Row of the USA Today. First comments since the trade. It's weird to hear him talking about the Redskins as a team he's not on.
Past tense. 6 years, man.
I think Washington can win. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, I guess just asked Kirk Cousins on Radio Row what advice he got from Charlie Weiss, who everybody saw him having a fairly long conversation with. And apparently Weiss told Cousins, don't go to a team just because they offer you the most money. A.K.A. don't go to the Cleveland Browns. I've been saying, and I still believe this, the Browns are not a bad option for Cousins. Two top five picks, $100 million to spend. Some talent, including Josh Gordon, David Njoku, Corey Coleman, Duke Johnson to check the ball to out of the backfield. I don't like the Todd Haley fit for him the more I think about it, though. I think what Todd Haley does in Pittsburgh is very different than what Sean McVay did and what Jay Gruden did here in Washington. I'm not sure about the personalities meshing either. You know, Ben Roethlisberger really butted heads with Haley.
Yeah, you're going to butt heads with Todd Haley no matter who you are.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go to Cleveland to play for Todd Haley and be a fit in his offense if I'm Cousins. So that would be maybe the drawback to the Browns idea. Let's go to Keith in Waldorf. What's up, Keith?
Keith.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up, man?
I'm sorry I have to follow Eric Bickle. That's a hard act to follow, but I'm going to do my best. I think that, reading the tea leaves, I mean, I certainly saw that he wasn't going to resign, first of all. And then as far as getting Alex Smith as opposed to getting another quarterback, like one of the Minnesota guys or whatever, I would have to imagine that Jay Gruden probably had a long talk with the powers that be. And he must have said that, Alex Smith is somebody that's head and shoulders for what I want to do above the rest of the guys. And I know, he's, very similar to Kirk Cousins in a lot of ways. But, I think his scrambling ability, his off-script stuff is better. Plus, he's a tall guy. He's from what I understand, he's been pretty durable. He's got a lot more experience than Kirk Cousins does, obviously, after playing in the league so many years.
Yeah, a couple different systems, teams, coaches, all that stuff. So
he's also had a lot of years where he's just okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that gets forgotten. His best year was last year. Before that, he'd never really had a statistically proficient, great season. But he's been on good teams, and he's been a part of the reason why they're good, because he doesn't make losing plays, and he doesn't beat his teams.
Go ahead. Sorry, no, that's it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there are definitely things that he is better than Cousins at, and you need to accentuate those strengths, meaning scrambling. We saw it firsthand, making plays with his feet, creating. He's had a season where he's had 500 rushing yards, 430, 355 last year. That's play extension. That's not just running for first downs. That's extra time to throw, let guys work open.
He can actually go pick up a 30-yard run.
He's good at that and has been good at that over his career. He's also good at not turning it over. There are downsides, though. It's again, different sides of the coin.
Jim, Spotsylvania, what's good?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Hey, Jim.
About a year ago, and I don't know why people are surprised, we knew this was coming, and you guys talked about it.
Yep.
You brought up the fact that when he was made an offer, he didn't counter. Now, I mean, I'm old. I've been following this team since the 60s, but I also do a lot of this, and the question becomes real clear. When a guy doesn't counter, the reason he doesn't counter is he's afraid you might accept whatever you counter with,
right?
No matter how crazy it is. And since then, we've known. So I'm not really blaming the Redskins for not talking anymore, because at that point, hey, we all know, we've talked about it, you guys have beaten it up. They've screwed up a lot of things, but hey, he's telling you loud and clear, I'm done.
Don't you?
So at this point,
I hear you. Let me ask you this, though, real quick, because I think it's a salient point and it's a good one. Don't you still, though, as the employer, need to ask? Because doesn't it 100% make him the bad guy if he says no to say the value that they just gave Alex Smith, where they go, okay, if you won't take it, somebody else will. We're not chopped liver over here. Don't you need just to serve it over to him and make him say no and make him look like the bad guy?
No, and I'll say it because of this. We've been beating up Snyder in that front office, and they deserve it a great deal.
Yeah.
But at that point, you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. If you already know the man doesn't want to be here, your people have already laid out a plan. And the only good part of that front office right now, which I'm going to tout, is I love Doug Williams. I thought that was the smartest thing they've done in probably 15 years. If they just give more control, I'd be thrilled. But the reality is, guys, don't even play personnel games anymore. Mm. Move away from that crap. Come up with a plan and make something happen.
You had me
Appreciate the call, bud. We'll part company there with the Doug Williams
assessment. Until you said that you want to give more power to Doug Williams. Talk to people, if you ever get a chance, that are in football that have worked with Doug Williams about eval and about how much he's probably doing for the Redskins. They'll tell you that there are probably other guys that have grinded their way up through the scouting department that can help you a little bit more. So we'll part companies on Doug Williams and how much power he should have in their front office. He was named the executive so that a bunch of Redskins fans clapped and so that they could bring him the 30-year anniversary cake that they brought him yesterday to celebrate a Super Bowl win, and so that the fans that want to see Darryl Green as the DB's coach and Brian Mitchell as a special teams coach could get excited. That is why he was named the front office executive that he was the last year. 800-636-1067 is the number. More from Kirk Cousins, who has broken his silence. Next, you will hear it right here on the pitch.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.